"Why, that dang fool of a Virgil Adams," he exclaimed. "He wouldn't even give me a chance to talk, and he got me so mad I could hardly talk anyway. He might have known from the first I wasn't going to let him walk in and beat me out of my own. That is, he might have known I wouldn't let him get ahead of me in a business matter, not with my boys twitting me about it every few minutes. But to talk to me the way he did this morning, well, he was out of his head, that's all. Now, wait just a minute," he interposed, as she seemed about to speak. "In the first place, we aren't going to push this case against your brother. I believe in the law, all right, and businessmen got to protect themselves. But in a case like this, where restitution's made by the family, why, I expect it's just as well sometimes to use a little influence and let the matters drop. Of course, your brother will have to keep out of the state, that's all. But you said..." She faltered. "Yes, what did I say?"
"You said were restitutions made by the family. That's what seemed to trouble Papa so terribly. Because restitution couldn't..."
"Why, yes, it could. That's what I'm here to talk to you about."
"I don't see..."
"I'm gonna tell you, ain't I?" he said gruffly. "Just hold your horses a minute, please."
He coughed, rose from his chair, walked up and down the room, then halted before her.
"It's like this," he said. "After I brought your father home this morning, there was one of the things he told me when he was going for me over yonder, kind of stuck in my craw. It was something about all this glue controversy not meaning anything to me in particular, and meaning a whole heap to him and his family. Well, he was wrong about that two ways. The first one was, it did mean a good deal to me to have him go back on me after so many years. I don't need to say any more about it, except just to tell you it meant quite a little more to me than you'd think, maybe. The other way he was wrong is that how much a thing means to one man and how little it means to another ain't the right way to look at a business matter."
"I suppose it isn't, Mr. Lamb."
"No," he said, "it isn't. It's not the right way to look at anything. Yes, and your father knows it as well as I do, when he's in his right mind. And I expect that's one of the reasons he got so mad at me. But anyhow, I couldn't help thinking about how much all this thing had maybe meant to him. As I say, it kind of stuck in my craw. I want you to tell him something from me. And I want you to go and tell him right off, if he's able and willing to listen. You tell him I got some kind of notion he was pushed into this thing by circumstances. And tell him I've lived long enough to know that circumstances can beat the best of us. You tell him I said the best of us. Tell him I haven't got a bit of feeling against him, not anymore. And tell him I came here to ask him not to have any against me."
"Yes, Mr. Lamb."
"Tell him I said..."
The old man paused abruptly, and Alice was surprised in a dull and tired way when she saw that his lips had begun to twitch and his eyelids to blink. But he recovered himself almost at once and continued,
"I want him to remember, forgive us our transgressions as we forgive those that transgress against us. And if he and I've been transgressing against each other, why, tell him I think it's time we quit such foolishness."
He coughed again, smiled heartily upon her, and walked toward the door, then turned back to her with an exclamation.
"Well, if I ain't an old fool."
"What is it?"
she asked.
"Why, I forgot what we were just talking about."